Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Courtney Cronin here at Hallis, fresh off the practice field, fresh off of the interviews. We flipped the script here. We get the press conferences first now, and then, you know, we get all our questions that we won't be able to ask for another week in here. But a lot to talk about today from practice. Another practice coming on, but we got some people back at practice, mm-hmm. So that's exciting. And we also got the news that no starters versus Kansas City. Well, I shouldn't say no starters. Maybe some select starters. Who will that be? We'll talk about all that and more on today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Leave a five-star review. Y'all know what to do. Courtney, are you ready to hit somebody at this point? Because we've been here for a while.
Yeah, I think that was the energy that was out there at practice today, where at the end there was, what did we say the first? There was a skirmish.
The first one, I said kerfuffle, a little kerfuffle.
Kerfuffle, skirmish. Would you call the second one a fight?
The second one was a fight.
Because there's a couple swinging
yeah,
arms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, so, the second one was a fight. I thought I saw really Martellus Bennett sneak back in
connected
there.
With anybody. I mean, I saw some helmets off. Nobody really got thrown out, though.
No, I thought that was the standard. Thought that, you know what I mean?
It's only for joint practices. If you fight, you get thrown out. But no, I mean, it's the energy right there. The first play was when Ian Wheeler got hit by Jervon Dexter. Dexter gets a talking to by Matt Eberflus. And the second one, Velus Jones gets tackled to the ground. Then everybody gets involved.
Yeah.
And I don't take anything from these fights. No. I always think it's fine. Like, it doesn't mean any, there's no malicious intent. It's just dudes fighting with each other and testosterone, and it's hot out there. So, no, but I mean, what, you know, the story of the day being that select starters are going to play.
Yeah.
But the majority are not. I was watching out there today. I'm like, all right, who are these select starters that, you know, will be out there? Will it be anybody that, you know, you know, is there anybody that's going to kind of make you go, why is this player being showcased who was a starter in the fourth preseason game after a very long training camp and month? But we'll see. I'm not surprised that Caleb Williams is done. I thought after at halftime last week, I'm like, this is going to be the last we see of him. When I was charting up, I was like, all right, we're at 43 snaps for him in the preseason. Yeah. You don't need to just say, okay, we hit 45, play him out there for two more and then pull him out. They have a good body of work. It's enough to evaluate him on going forward and know what the next 20 days hold. Where are the areas of his game they need to tweak? You're not going to make wholesale changes because I don't think you have to. I think that the operation has looked relatively clean, even in the days where they've had struggles with the cadence and with the false starts. Like, a lot of that stuff was weeks ago.
Yeah.
Where they're at right now offensively, there's up and downs. I mean, there were some moments today in practice that, you know, didn't look great for the first team offense, but that's what happens. That's what's been happening. It's nothing that causes alarm. Like, so I think it's the right decision. If you're Matt Eberflus, you can never get enough game reps, but knowing what they know and knowing that they have to game plan for all the other starters too, not just the quarterback, it's probably wisest if they weren't going to play a Keenan Allen or a Rome Odunze or DJ Morris, like, or the first team offensive line, you're obviously not playing your quarterback either.
Yeah. No, for sure. I will say this. I think that, and you haven't probably had the pleasure of being in the YouTube chat for when the Bears press conference is happening. There's usually a lot of craziness going on in there. I guarantee you when he said select starters, basically players who haven't gotten enough snaps, there was a stream of Nate Davises flying up that chat.
Sure.
Do you feel like
he said the same thing when I was just on with him? Yeah. I don't know. I can't see that happening. I really can't.
Yeah.
Like, why would you play? And I get it. Offensive line's all about continuity. So you'd think just based on that, that he wouldn't play because he's part of the first team offensive line. And they've been this Ryan Bates thing, you know, with him. I mean, there's no time to restart the center competition. This is the unit that they're rolling with. Yeah. So Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins, Coleman Shelton, Nate Davis and Darnell Wright. You got to make sure that that unit is together. And of course, you don't want to risk injury to one player if you decided to play Nate Davis in the Kansas City game. I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
I don't think that that is who Matt Eberflus was talking about.
I like the standard that they've set around Nate Davis. I don't see it either because, right, all the arguments that we've made for him, why he should be out there with the first team, it doesn't make sense to play him with the second team at all. Could we see a guy like a Jaquan Brisker out there? Maybe, although I don't even know that. Like, when I hear select starters, I literally was trying to figure out who could he be talking about on this team that, like, I can't think of anyone on the D-line. The linebackers have been there. The only maybe other option is your DBs.
Khalil Herbert technically falls into that starter category because he was a year ago. Remember, yeah. We saw him play in that will be four games for him because he played in the Hall of Fame game with Roschon Johnson.
How they've handled Swift has been very interesting as well. Just
a healthy scratch.
There you go. Don't play. Yeah.
And I mean, they don't need to. They paid him a boatload of money. Right. So I get it why they're giving their other running back some run. But I have a hard time pinpointing, all right, who do you think is a starter that needs to play? You just logically, you're not playing anybody on the offensive line out of position more or less, or with a different unit.
Yeah.
The tight ends, you're not playing any of them. I feel like majority of starters really does mean majority of starters, maybe meaning all of the starters are not playing.
Is there any chance just because of the up and down scenario that we've seen that Bayless Jones, in theory, is the starting kick returner?
Oh yeah, no,
maybe you see him at running back.
That's the one player that I think you would end up seeing
tomorrow.
Yeah. But do you consider him a starter? I don't consider him a starter on offense. I consider him a starter on special teams.
Yeah.
So no, I do think he will play.
I think that's the only one I can think. And maybe, I guess, if you want Torrey to punt, but Torrey can punt. Yeah. I don't know if you guys notice or not, but he can punt. You see it in the games. He drops him at the 10. He's pissed off about it that it didn't land on the one. I agree with you. I think it would be tough for Nate Davis. I don't know why you would risk Jaquan when he's just gotten back out there. Kyler looked like he didn't miss, 4 weeks of practice at all. So I was surprised to hear him say select starters. And then I was like, he's got to be talking about starting special teams players that are going to get run on defense or offense.
This is your chance for depth.
Yes.
Your depth picks to determine who's filling out maybe spots 45 through 53 that you don't already have completely dead set. This guy's making the roster. So a guy in the case of Velus, what if he goes out there and muffs a kickoff like he did in Buffalo? I mean, he did recover that one, but this is a huge test for him if he ends up being one of the players who plays. And I do feel like he will because he still has a lot to prove.
Yeah.
I mean, even today in what we've seen, in the preseason game against Cincinnati, he doesn't get run until the second half.
Right.
So all of the one reps that he got last week, that goes to Khalil Herbert, who took the majority of those, then some Roschon Johnson, and then Velus was up. I wouldn't be surprised if Velus is your starting running back tomorrow night, just based on how much they're still trying to make this happen. He's getting run out there with the ones today in the first team offense.
I'm so confused by this scenario. I get it. You're trying to force feed this, but if I'm a Roschon Johnson or even if I'm Ian Wheeler, I'm sitting there what the heck is going on right now? You know what I mean? I get it. We're trying to work Velus into this, but at no point does he look better than the other two guys. Literally every time you put Roschon and or Ian Wheeler in, you're like, oh, that's what a running back looks like. The kick returns, you know what I mean? We've seen DeAndre Carter get first team reps on kick return. Dante Pettis hasn't been out there, but we have seen him through camp get first team reps. Tyler Scott out there. Again, I get it. I understand that you want to have your guys make the team. And I said this last night because I did a live last night on the Bears podcast because it got late up here. If Velus Jones makes this team, it tells you that Ryan Poles has a blind spot for the guys that he's brought in. Because there's nothing he's done that has put him on that pedestal, in my opinion.
If something happens this year, then if there's a game-changing play that he's the cat, in a bad way, that he's the catalyst of, then you look at it and say, okay, well, you had every opportunity to not put this guy on the roster. But then again, how many situations after his rookie season was he put in last year where it was okay, this is do or die? No, they took that opportunity away from him.
Yeah, he was just on kickoff. It was literally
only on kickoff. And, a couple very sparing, plays on offense. They have to justify his spot on this roster. So what they've done on camp is try to give him every opportunity to show that he deserves a spot on the 53. I have a hard time trying to figure out, I went back and looked at my initial 53 because I was trying to put my, trying to put my last one together for that's going to come after the Kansas City game and figure out, who am I cutting if I'm not,
if not Velus,
I've had him on my 53 the whole time. Yeah. I don't see how he doesn't make it at this point.
It's so strange.
You have to watch where the reps are coming to.
Oh, he's like, getting
if
them.
He's getting them he's with getting the ones. It's not like he's been completely relegated, you know, to the back of the depth chart. That's how it is. You know, Thursday will be really interesting to see too with the running back room. Like everybody's been asking, you know, a couple different questions. Running back room is probably the most intriguing one. Like, is Khalil Herbert on this roster? And we forget about this. Not that it's like a huge storyline, but what about fullback? Are they keeping a fullback on this roster?
I don't know how you do. I don't think Kari makes it, which is crazy to me.
I have a hard time just because of the personnel usage that like there was never a fullback in Seattle.
Yeah.
Shane Waldron was more likely to use a third tight end in that 100%. Role over a fullback. And yes, I know there have been plays drawn up for Kari Blasingame in practice. I don't know if that really is an indication that he's going to be a lock on this roster.
No, 100%. I agree with you, and I'll ask you this. If Kari is taken away, it seems like this has become tight end you up here. Like they I'm not like going to lie. There's three. There's five tight ends on this team that I could see being the third and or if you wanted to a fourth tight end to replace maybe that fullback spot. Do you see them possibly taking four tight ends on here?
I see three. Okay. I mean, Mercedes is 40 years old, but he still contributes and he plays.
Heck of a blocker.
And that's his role now. Yeah. And that's what I think, instead of having a fullback, you keep a third tight end on the roster for that purpose. But, you know, some of it, like, look at the kick coverage units. See who's on those like kick coverage, punt coverage. That's where you'll be able to draw, like, okay, maybe there's another linebacker here. Maybe there's another tight end here that ends up getting onto the roster simply because they have such a massive contribution on special teams and they're, you know, a four-phase guy. Then, like, could it be like a Steven Carlson? I mean, he's had some flashes.
Steven Carlson has had some good moments.
Is he worth a roster spot, though? Like, remember, they can make this 53 and then they can start cutting guys the next day.
Absolutely.
And, like, you know, adding off other people's spots, too.
It's weird to see, like, from the Bears, where we're like, we just need a tight end, mm-hmm. to now it's like, I could see Carlson making it. I could see Sweeney. Sweeney's had some nice flash plays. You know what I mean?
Like, had good camp.
I think that when you look at the solidness of camp, when you look at how they performed in the preseason games, there's opportunity there. I said this the other day. You're going to have guys on this team's cut list that you're going to go, that's tough. Right? For me, I fully
first
see.
First time in 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. For me, I fully see Ian Wheeler as a Cowboy this year.
You think he's going to Dallas because they need running backs?
I think that they will put Ian Wheeler on the practice squad and he will be a Cowboy this year. And I will be like, that sucks a little bit. But also, we got three more. You know what I mean? So it's funny to talk about where we're at right now, where we're literally like, we were at a spot where like Steven Carlson was probably the best player on 2 years ago's team. Mm-hmm. If we start off there. You know what I mean?
That's what Ryan Poles has talked about, like, for the last couple of months. This is going to be a really hard roster to make. That's not lip service.
Yeah.
This group that they have, this talent, the talent pool that they have, like, think about the wide receiver room. You know, so if you have your three that are locks and then Tyler Scott is making the roster, then if it's five and six, is it Velus? Is it Dante Pettis? Is there somebody else? I mean, Colin Johnson flashed early on, but we haven't seen him because he's been hurt. Like, who else? Like, there's other names out there that, like, on this team that you could justify because of special teams play. But I don't know if you're putting a John Jackson on this roster. I think that'd be somebody that you try to get onto the practice squad because, you know, he's a receiver. He's part of that group. He's also on special teams. He's been on a returner as well. But I don't, like, this should be the envy of every GM when you have hard decisions to make and it doesn't look like you're trying to decide between Equanimeous St. Brown and Byron Pringle.
No, 100%. Like,
they're beyond that stage, which is a good spot to be in.
It's a great spot. And I think it has made camp more competitive because you've got a bunch of twos who can fight for spots, maybe not win spots at the ones, but, you know, fight for spots as a two on this team. You've seen that tight end room be very competitive. I think the defensive end room, while maybe they're still looking for more, Austin Booker, Dom Rob's played the best that we've seen him play.
Yeah.
Probably of his career.
Can you imagine the pressure that's on him to make this team 3 years in now? He's got a rookie who is definitely making this 100%. Roster and is probably taking his playing time anyways and has taken some of his reps out here. Like, he wants to still prove that he can be a formidable part of this pass rush. Like, does he make the roster, though? Is he a lock? It's certainly not a lock.
Not a lock. Definitely not a lock.
You know, do some of the injuries to that room. Like, I mean, I think, you know, Jake Martin has not been out there. He was on my initial 53, so he's not, I'm not even considering it just because of the injury that's kept him out. But Daniel Hardy, I think he makes the 53. I think that, you know, Dominique Robinson's in a good position right now, just based on where he's getting run and with which unit. They need pass rushers, but we also know that they have been looking and they'll continue to look until cut down day and through cut down day until they, you know, get somebody. If it is a Unique Ngakoue, which was interesting the way that Matt Eberflus answered some of the questions today.
We've heard about Unique at all
in a while.
And I mean,
he was asked about it like at the very beginning of training camp, but really hasn't said, there hasn't been much buzz. But now that we know the Bears were in on Matthew Judon and that didn't work out, it still feels like there's a hole in this pass rush that they are trying to address.
100%. They're looking for who they believe is their starter opposite Montez Sweat versus guys who can swap in. I think you're right. How Flus answered that question was kind of like, you know, we feel good about Dominique and Austin and D Walk. And it's like, so you don't feel good about one of them as a starter. That's the way I took it. You don't feel good that you have that guy. You feel good about the rotation.
Yeah, rotation for sure.
And that doesn't mean you have an answer on the opposite end. We'll see what ends up happening. I think that there's going to be some interesting cuts. I think Daniel Hardy's another name that, you know, being brought up that is an interesting.
If he doesn't make the team,
and Dom Rob does, once again, very similar to Velus, I would assume that Ryan Poles has a soft spot for the guys that he picked up the phone and said, hey, I'm going to use this pick on you. Like that would be kind of telling to me if those two make this team.
And I mean, Daniel Hardy's a young player too. So like one thing you have to factor in is if they don't think they can sneak somebody onto the practice squad because that player has shown been exposed enough in preseason like Daniel Hardy has, then you don't risk it because he'll get claimed.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a move that they would make.
Now, it's always so interesting because we see these guys every day. I feel like we're like, oh, somebody will definitely claim that guy. I do this every year.
The one man's trash is another man's
treasure. I do this every year. And then like we're sitting here 6 weeks in and I'm like, nobody claimed this guy? He's still on the, oh, okay, all right. Oh, we can hold on to him, I guess. That's cool. Let's talk about practice a little bit. We talked about, of course, the little bit of the dust up that we saw, but there was that energy in practice throughout, and you got some of your hard hitters back as well. Jaquan Brisker returning to the field, actually doing a little bit today in pads. You also got Karan Amageji back, who I'm not gonna lie, seeing him return, I thought there would be this ramp up period, but it's been full go. I would assume he's probably playing Thursday with him being in full pads today and being a full participant in practice today.
That's a good question because remember, this was an off-season surgery that he had. So it wasn't like he had surgery, you know, 3 months ago and is still recovering. So maybe he is physically further along. I mean, he's been out at practice watching and taking these mental reps for weeks now. And yesterday he goes through like individual stuff. And then for him to be in full pads today, it does feel like a quicker ramp up period. But, you know, if he ends up playing, it's going to be a good chance for him to get caught up. Because remember, everybody else has been practicing for more than a month now. And he hasn't been. I mean, yes, he's been there, but like he hasn't had the same sort of physical work that the other players have. So I think it's a great opportunity. I think it's one that he can, not that he's going to like work his way into a competition for a starter's role based on like one game, but they need depth too.
Unless he goes out there and kills guys on the other side. Like maybe he does. Flus, I mean, a third round pick, you would assume he's got some level of better talent, but I would not say that's now. Coming out of this game. No,
not definitely not now, considering the Chiefs are probably guaranteed they're not playing Patrick Mahomes or anybody else. They're going to be playing all of their second and third stringers. But Karan's going to be an interesting case study to see just how quickly, because when they drafted him, I remember Ryan Poles kind of told us to put the, you know, pump the brakes on. You know, he's not ready to go contend for Braxton Jones's job right now, but down the line, down the line, that's the guy that you brought in potentially to be your next left tackle.
Yeah.
I've seen this in training camps that I've covered before where there's a rookie drafted, and there's a vet like that's holding down a position, and you start to see the switch happen, not in training camp, but like midway through the season. Not saying that that's at least like what's projected now. The guy's got to go out there and play in a preseason game if he's even going to do that. But he'll be an interesting one during the year to keep an eye on to see, like, you know, we won't be able to see practice, but kind of hearing, all right, how much work are you getting in? What run are you getting? And where are you physically? Like, were you, you know, he missed the whole training camp. Yeah. Is he able to get his way up to speed enough to where he's at the same level as everybody else during the year and not still playing catch up?
No, for sure. Even talking about, you know, I asked him today, and he kind of like, Nick asked him first, Nicholas Moreno, CSGO. He asked him first, you know, have you been getting work at other positions? Are you learning other mm-hmm. positions? And he kind of was like, yeah, you know, I can do anything. You know, I'll play wherever they put me. But then
originally he came in and said, I want to play left tackle.
Right, exactly.
And that's his natural position.
And now, you know, but I did ask him, I was like, you played both in college. He played right guard. He played left tackle. Do you feel like you can go out there? And he was like, listen, they haven't really taught me anything yet, but wherever they need me, that's where I'm willing to play. And if they want to teach me those things, I'm willing to learn them. I think that may be his in, especially with some of the questions on the offensive line. Not to say that it's just Braxton Jones' job, but we know that they feel comfortable right now with Braxton Jones at left tackle. If Tevin goes down, could we see him get in at left guard? If Nate goes down, could we see him get in at right guard? I think he is going to be one of the more interesting players that comes in because of some of the injuries that the Bears could sustain and some that they have sustained. Right, Ryan Bates is your backup right guard, essentially, and we haven't don't know. Seen him in
yeah,
2 weeks.
Week to week now, and he's still on the bike during practice. So yeah. That's
he looked dressed today, though. I saw him,
but he wasn't doing anything.
He wasn't doing anything. Doing rehab work, yeah,
which I don't know. I don't like what Eberflus said after the Buffalo game was that he's okay.
Yeah,
but we haven't seen him now. It's 2 weeks.
I don't know. I mean, the injury situation up here is always kind of a mystery.
But they are in a much better spot now than they were at this time of year.
100%.
A lot more injuries. 100%.
And you're getting guys back, and I think that's the good part about it, right? You getting back in Jaquan Brisker, who was right in the middle of the mix. I'm like, Quan, get out of there. My favorite person in the scuffle is Kyler Gordon, because he's like, I got to grab somebody. So like him and Darnell Wright grab somebody on the edge, and they're just like, they're both holding on to each other. He's like, all right, we done? All right, cool. Good stuff. The other thing that I thought was good today from practice, and probably my best thing from practice, while still kind of I think they've gotten to kind of an even day where offense wins a couple reps, defense wins a couple reps, which is good because it seems they do different things when they play other teams. Feels like that Keenan Allen, Caleb Williams dynamic is growing a heck of a lot more. And I said this last night, everybody was like, Keenan hasn't really done anything. Is that concerning? I was like, Keenan probably didn't care until the last couple weeks before the season.
I didn't think that was the case, though. I felt like there were, you know, of course, DJ Moore flashed early on, like dating back to OTAs because he was here all of it. We all thought, okay, this guy's coming off a career year, instant lock for number one receiver. And he very well may be, you know, Caleb Williams, number one receiver. But Keenan Allen has been consistently just dominating.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just because it's like happening on a quieter scale because he hasn't, the two of them haven't connected in games.
Right.
Like maybe that's why, but DJ Moore hasn't. Outside of the 45-yarder to Rome Odunze, we didn't see much from, you know, on a
passing,
non-practice schedule with Caleb Williams and his top three receivers. But the last 2 days, Keenan had three touchdowns yesterday, two in the red zone. Yeah. Today was just dominating, guys. I have to track this. Has he had a catch on Jalen Johnson yet?
He did. He got one the next day. So after I asked him that question, which my answer got on Hard Knocks, but not my question,
I'm not gonna lie.
I think Finley's question got on. I was like, it's the wrong pet. You, I was a little. Yeah, I saw it. I was like, oh snap! I made Hard Knocks. I thought I had it. And they took it away from me.
More than you on
that sucks. I think that when you saw that. Right. When you kind of saw him go out there that next day, he got the catch. Yeah. Even though they didn't. I don't know if they showed it. I don't know if they showed it in Hard Knocks.
They didn't.
Because they showed the pick.
Yes. And
but the Bears sent out a video.
where Keenan finally got where one
Keenan
on him.
Got a catch, okay. And it was the next day, and it was like Keenan called his own catch.
Got it.
So he did get his catch.
Not
on
many
him.
Though. He hasn't had many on Jalen Johnson, but like to the last couple of days, even Tyreek Stevenson. I thought it was kind of poetic today. Like he's talking about how frustrating it is going up against someone like a Keenan Allen, and then you go see what Keenan Allen does in practice.
Yeah.
Like I know there was like some weird thing about like how much does he weigh? Is he slow? Is he out? Like absolutely not. I don't know. Like I still don't know like where that came from. It couldn't be further from
there's,
the truth.
There's one play, and I don't know if it was QB school. I didn't finish the last QB school, but there was one play where I think Caleb is doing a rollout and whoever's breaking the tape down, they're like, Keenan's supposed to be even. He's not running as hard with him. And like, he looks a little bit slow. And people took that and sent it to the moon. Crazy. And I'm like, guys, it's preseason. And we kept saying this. I was standing next to Josh Schrock watching practice. And we both just looked at each other and we was like, practice starts now. Like these guys, and you could tell, like now that we're not worried about the preseason games. Yes, we got to them, but we got 3 weeks till the season starts. Now is where we have to get the majority of our work in before that first Tennessee game. And I think you're seeing it. The second that the last preseason game, they probably knew well before we knew that they weren't playing in it.
Yes. Exactly.
Keenan Allen all of a sudden is turning it on at camp and it all. Yeah, I mean, like, I agree with you. I don't think that he has been quiet.
I thought he's had a good camp.
I think that he's just been not the focal point that Caleb has gone to every other play.
Sure.
And I think Bears fans are expecting that.
Yeah, and would you expect that like that guy's Gerald Everett? Because it's looked like it's Gerald Everett in a lot of different like training camp practices. Yeah. Like you think, okay, he's locking in on the move tight end.
Yeah.
Like
could be.
You know, there's days where Cole Kmet has been
Non-existent,
yeah. Afterthought, whatever word you want to use. But does that mean that they're not going to, like, then he goes out and connects to them on a 26-yarder in the game against Buffalo? I don't read too much into that. Keenan Allen's going to be a big part of this offense. 100%. They didn't bring him in here to not be a security blanket for this quarterback.
No, 100%. And I think here the thing that it's tough because they don't, the fans don't get to see as much of practice as we do. They only get to come on the open days and everybody doesn't get to come. But in practice, like, I don't know if you felt this way. When I watch practice, even if they're up and down days, I've gotten to the point where I'm like, it won't look anything like this in the game. Like today, the offensive line, first 11 on 11, destroyed Caleb Williams. And we haven't seen the offensive line look like that versus any of the other defenses that they've played.
And I mean, I think it's a byproduct of, okay, you saw how everything looked in the game. Then why does it look like it's reverting? And it's not.
Yeah.
It's just like there's different rules in practice versus games. And, you know, the defensive line, I mean, Jervon Dexter got him out of the pocket twice during 11-on-11. Montez Sweat, obviously.
Dialing up the blitzes. You know, we saw Tremaine Edmonds on a linebacker blitz coming up the middle. I mean,
this is their chance This is their chance to try some of those things out, though. I mean, you saw how many corner blitzes happened in the game against the Cincinnati Bengals. There's probably more of that they're trying out in practice to see what's a good fit and what's not.
Yeah. Do you think there's a comfort level? By the way, shout out to Flus. Flus got a little edge this year.
He does.
He's trying to go with some people a little bit.
He's fun. I like watching him
Herb, because Herb Howard asked him, you know,
Who dialed up the blitz for Kyler.
He's like, Kyler did. But not even that. The fact that he was like, you know, you've basically let Eric Washington call all the plays. How are you going to transition over? He's like, you didn't know I called the first two drives in Buffalo, did you? It's like, no, you didn't tell us that. Like, you said Eric Washington was calling the plays. But I like the edge that he has. And I'll say this. It feels like, I don't know if it's because of Eric Washington or if Flus just feels more comfortable with the defense, but it feels like there's been a little bit more of a philosophy change. Remember early in the season last year, they were rushing four. We're like, you can't get pressure with four. You have to bring linebackers. Because
that was the philosophy of that defense.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they make the switch at coordinator, and I think even like midway through the season last year, you saw Flus getting
more aggressive with
the pressures that he was calling, realizing that when you don't have a star pass rusher, and this is before Montez Sweat, and even after Montez Sweat got here, they were still seeking other ways to get after the quarterback. Because if you don't, This defense, it's an antiquated way of playing defense in today's NFL, unless you have just absolute mammoth pass rushers one through four across, like, you know, across your four down defense. You just, very few teams have that. I mean, everybody blitzes in the NFL. Everybody brings in extra pressure, all these exotic coverages, disguises, like all of that. Cause everybody's like upping their game year after year in the NFL. And you got to stay like locked in with that. Otherwise you're going to be behind the eight ball. And if you think the standard four man pressure is going to like get it done all the time, it's not. There's like the numbers prove it.
Yeah. I think on top of it, there's more of a trust on both sides this year, right? Flew's coming in. Not really. It's his second year, but you know, there was a lot of new pieces that you're adding in.
And he was having to redo it, like do a job he hadn't done for 2 years and calling plays and having to get his footing under him.
Exactly. And there's, I got to build that trust with Tremaine that if I send him on a blitz, we've also got our DBs who we know are going to be able to cover. And I think now it just feels like they have that trust where it's like, yeah, we can send an extra man because we know we've got it covered on the back end and they can't handle whatever the extra pressure is. So now it's on the quarterback to make a quick decision. Or like we saw, Kyler Gordon take somebody's head off. That was wild. I am kind of upset that no one's owning up to calling that. Like, I'm not going to lie.
I mean, it's a great play. I don't know how the quarterback didn't see it. I still never understand that. It's on the front side of the play.
Because he's the third string quarterback and you normally aren't dialing up corner blitzes on the third string quarterback in a preseason game. So I thought that was funny. I thought that, you know, my big takeaway from practice was a part of the defense that the comfortability that these guys look like they have. I mean, sure. You saw Kwon come back in. And again, it looked like he hadn't missed any time. Mm-hmm. Like he fits right back in. You can tell that they already have, right? Kevin Byard talked about the conversations that they're able to have without having conversations on the field. Mm-hmm. You see that with Kyler coming back in. It just, this defense feels, I don't even know, right? Like I said, this could be a top five defense even without them having the opposite pass rusher. If they get the opposite pass rusher, this might be the best defense in the NFL this season.
I mean, I still think they're a ways away from like even, there's still some other really good defenses in the NFL. Are they top five right now? We're not going to know until, like, I know that even, I thought Flus had the best answer to that early in preseason where he's like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Like, what does it mean? If you say top five, top 10, like top 10 is what they should enter the season as. Top five, like, should be the bar of where they're trying to get. Number one defense in the NFL. I mean, they're number one against the run. Like, but the pass defense.
I think
defense,
that continues.
I do too.
Yeah.
And you haven't seen teams in the preseason, whether it's in the joint practice, whether it's in either any of the games, teams have not been able to run on the Bears.
No, Andrew Billings is the most underrated player.
I would like to think that
this team.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, he's a huge part of what they do up front, and that makes the job of the linebackers easier too. It's a development of Jerron Dexter as well, 100%. Like into year two. Like that seems to be on the right track. We know the secondary has depth that, we thought they had depth last year, but like even now, I think they're just in such a better spot in regards to that. So could they be the number one defense? I still think that they have to prove it to you first,
100%.
Like before you're going in and saying, okay, like, cause right now there's an injury to one of your starting safeties, you know, cornerback unit seems like it's, you know, lock solid. There's a lot more that like the pass rush helps the back end of the defense. I'm not convinced that this pass rush is complete right now. And is capable of, you know, they were 31st in sacks last year, 32nd in sack percentage. Like, if you want to be the best defense in the NFL, that number's got to go way the hell up before it's anywhere close to staking that claim.
But I think it's what makes me feel like they could be heading that direction is the combination of the players you have and how we're seeing them call it to start the season. Right? To start the season last year, we were like, they are rushing four.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like they're rushing four very often this year, unless it's a rundown. So I think that we'll see. You know, I don't know if I'd say that is my prediction for the season, but I think this defense is just, especially with a growing offense, it's so nice to have something you can hang your hat on and you know that they are that. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what ends up happening. Any other big takeaways from today? Anything that you saw that you thought stood out a little bit?
I think that, I mean, like, at this point of training,
they're just all trying to get through.
That's how I felt after like the little fights today. I'm like, everybody is just trying to get through. Like,
tomorrow may be chippy though. I ain't gonna lie to you. Tomorrow might be a little.
I doubt that. I think that tomorrow it'll be a split scrimmage, or excuse me, a split practice.
Yeah.
Guys who are playing on one field in the game, guys who are not playing are on the other field.
Well, that'll definitely be there. But I think maybe the ones go at a little bit tougher. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe Flus gave him a good lashing when they got back in the locker room. We can't be fighting out there. I'll throw every one of you out of practice. Oh, okay. Appreciate you guys for tuning in, showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Let us know any questions that you have on camp in the comments below, because at this point, we're in the final days of it. Yep. I mean, well, final days, final weeks of it, should I say. But it feels like kind of just get to the regular season. So we'll see. We need you guys' input in the show. Shout out. I don't know if you saw this, Courtney. We crossed 3 million lifetime views.
I saw that.
On the Chicago Bears podcast.
Because we've been going at this now for over a year now.
Yeah,
and I saw the 3 million views. Like, thank you to everybody who tunes in, who listens. I hope to see you guys at Football Fest next. That's Sunday.
That is Sunday.
Oh my
that
goodness,
is Sunday.
Sunday.
Pull up like, on Sunday for Football Fest.
Got a lot
Fest.
Of loyal listeners, and that's awesome.
If you are, it is going to be at the Hard Rock Casino in Northwest Indiana, who also sponsor this podcast. And also, I don't know if there's still tickets available. I think sales out fast.
Yeah.
People love Football Fest. There's going to be so many people there. Of course, everybody from the Chicago Bears broadcast team will be on there. J-Mac will be there. I believe Lance is supposed to be coming in for Football Fest as well. So we're going to have a ton of people out there. Make sure to come through. Say what's up. We can't wait to talk to you guys out there. As always, though, for Courtney Cronin, it's your boy Pat the Designer back at it again. Thanks for 3 mil. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace.